All right. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah is daf Lamed Daled. We're only 2 days away from finishing the Masechta. And I almost left it to a vote, but I think we're just going to go with the whatever's on the list next in terms of the next Masechta. And I think it's Tanis, which is going to be the next Masechta. Today is Wednesday, so that means Friday we're going to be getting Masechta Tanis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Bilan Lazer and Ishmael Flos with Lupin Goldsman. We are on Amigimon Beis. We're almost up to the Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to discuss Seder Tekiyos, but before we get to that point in time, let's just quickly wrap up our discussion from when we had yesterday. The encouragement of children blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah comes around, and the children want to pick up the shofar and they want to blow, so the Mishnah says encourage it. I want you to encourage that behavior. There is another brisa that the Gemara quoted yesterday, which says don't really encourage it. Don't even have to stop them, but you don't have to encourage it. The Gemara says maybe a distinction can be drawn between the child who has gotten to the point of chinuch versus the child that has not gotten to the point of chinuch. Once a child has arrived at the point of chinuch, so then you want encouragement. Then you want to get the child to blow the shofar, and so you want to encourage him, but if he hasn't arrived at chinuch, so really, don't give him the shofar, don't encourage him to blow, but if he blows, you don't have to stop him from doing so. We had a discussion yesterday regarding women and shofar. Women do not have a mitzvah of shofar. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Can they opt into the mitzvah? So as we learned yesterday, that's subject to a machlokas amongst the Tanayim. In general, it's a general issue whether or not women can opt into a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do so. So that was a machlokas between Rav Yossi versus Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda against Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon take the position that that women can opt into a mitzvah, and that's the halacha. The halacha is that women can opt into a mitzvah. The big question that the Rishonim deal with is, can women make a bracha on a mitzvah that they're opting in? So that's subject to a major debate amongst the Rishonim. Tosfos yesterday. Yesterday's daf, Lama Gimel, Amud Aleph. So Tosfos makes the argument, Rabbi Natan makes the argument that women can make a bracha on mitzvahs that they're not obligated to do. Once they opt in, so now they're doing the mitzvah, so they make a bracha. That is Rabbi Natan. You'll see Tosfos on Lama Gimel, Amud Aleph. It's a long Tosfos, but he goes through a number of arguments in terms of why this is so, why women can make a bracha. The Rambam takes the position that women do not make a bracha. They can do the mitzvah, they can opt in to do the mitzvah, but they cannot make a bracha. And that's the Rambam's position. The simple explanation of the Rambam's position, as we noted yesterday, is that in the bracha you say, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu, you commanded us. And it's not true. The Yekadosh Baruch Hu did not command women to do so. Women can do so, but there was no commandment to do so. So therefore the Rambam says, don't make a bracha. As I mentioned yesterday, the Shulchan Aruch goes like the Rambam, the Rama goes like Rabbeinu Tam. And so therefore, if you're Ashkenaz, you'll make a bracha. If you're Sephardic, you will not make a bracha. Okay, all this we said yesterday. We're in the Gemara now. We're in the very top of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We're continuing from where we left off yesterday. Ha misasik lo yatzeh. If you're misasik, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Misasik, what does that term mean? It means you blow with no intent whatsoever. No kavana, you're just blowing. So ha tokeh l'shir yatzeh. Now, misasik is really no intent whatsoever. Misasik, kind of hard to explain how you even got into the situation where the shofar's in your hand and you're blowing the shofar. But in other words, there simply is no there's no goal, there's no mission. It just happens to be that you're blowing on a shofar. But if, let's say, you are blowing, not for the mitzvah, but no halot tekeh l'shir, but let's say you want to blow, you have a nice tune that's going through your head right now, and you want to blow it out in the shofar. So yatzah, it sounds like from the Mishnah that you have fulfilled your obligation. Okay, so the Gemara says, lema misayel l'rava damer rava tekeh l'shir yatzah. Seemingly, this would support Rava. Rava says that if you're tekeh l'shir, you're yotzeh. Now remember, let's remind ourselves, Rava said, Rava took the position earlier in the Masechta that mitzvahs do not require kavana. Right, we noted that was a major debate. Rava's position is that mitzvahs do not require kavana, and therefore, according to Rava, if you're blowing shofar, even though all you're doing is just really, you want to just belt out a tune, and it happens to be that you got the tekiah, trua tekiah, so according to Rava, you fulfilled your obligation, even though that wasn't your intent whatsoever. So it sounds like our Mishnah could be supportive of this viewpoint of Rava. So the Gemara says, "Demo tokeh l'shir nami misasik harilei." So the Gemara says, "No, it doesn't. It's not necessarily a support for Rava. It could be that tokeh l'shir, that if you're blowing your shofar, but just simply to belt out a tune and to make some music and to sing a song, maybe that also falls under the category of misasik. And it could be that you haven't fulfilled your obligation, and it could be that our Mishnah is not supportive of Rava. And so the Gemara is not concluding. The Gemara is just simply saying, don't look at our Mishnah as a proof for Rava. Aval, back to the continuing in the Gemara, Shomem and the Mesasik lo yatsa. If you hear someone blowing the shofar, and you have all the intent in the world, Rosh Hashanah, I want to fulfill my mitzvah, it happens to be the person, however, who's blowing the shofar, is doing so mindlessly. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah says, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Okay, now let's go somewhere in the middle. Meaning, let's say he's blowing, and let's say he's blowing with kavana, but only kavana for himself, but not for you. Sounds like you fulfilled your obligation. Why? Because again, we start with what the Mishnah says, and we just move from there. The Mishnah says that if the tokeya has no intent whatsoever, so then you haven't fulfilled your obligation. So now we're just going to push it out just a little bit. We don't have to push it out that far. So let's say he has intent. Not intent for you, but intent for himself. It sounds like from the Mishnah that you're going to fulfill your obligation. So in that case, you'd be yotzi. Let me have a tif to the Rabbi Zera. If we're right, that was speculation, but if we're right, so then we have a difficulty against Rabbi Zera. You remember Rabbi Zera, we also saw him a couple days ago. Rabbi Zera says, in order to have fulfilled your obligation of shofar, you must turn to the person blowing the shofar, and you have to say to him, have me in mind. It's not enough that you're blowing the shofar for me, but you have to have in your mind to be yotze me. I want you to be yotze me. That was Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera says, and if that's not so, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. That's the sheet of Rabbi Zera. However, the way we're understanding and analyzing our Mishnah, it's not necessary. So the Gemara says, "Name it yavet yufta the Rabbi Zera." Damalei Rabbi Zera l'shamei ikam v'takali. Remember, the Gemara here quotes again what we saw a number of days ago, where Rabbi Zera turns to his attendant and says, "I need you to have me in mind while you blow shofar for me." So dema I did the tani reshim misasek tani sevanami misasek. So the Gemara says, "Look, the diak in our Mishnah, you don't have to make the diak in our Mishnah. Yes, the Mishnah uses a language of misasek, but that's only for the purpose of symmetry. Meaning, since the Mishnah had discussed misasek in the beginning, so when a person is blowing shofar for himself, so therefore the Mishnah uses the term misasek when blowing the shofar for somebody else. But the truth of the matter is that no, in order to fulfill your obligation of shofar and you're blowing for somebody else, you have to have that other person in mind. So the Gemara could be, our Mishnah could be agreeing with Rabbi Zera, and it's not categorically a proof against Rabbi Zera. Okay, Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. We now begin the next Mishnah. We're Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, we're right in the middle of the Amud, and we're beginning the new Mishnah, and here we go. We are now going to be discussing the number of times that we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There is no clear instruction in the Torah as to the number of times we have to blow the shofar. We now know, we've been discussing since the beginning of the fourth parak, actually going back a little bit into the third parak as well, we now know that there's a mitzvah to take a shofar, where the shofar comes from, what would disqualify the shofar itself, but we have not yet discussed when exactly, or I should say how many times we are instructed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So open up a Chumash, and you'll look at the times where the Torah discusses the blowing of the shofar, Parshas Emor, Parshas Pinchas, and there is no clear instruction in terms of the number of times that we blow the shofar. As I mentioned already a number of times, but let's reiterate. The key time to blow the shofar is going to be during Musaf. Meaning there's a Musaf on Rosh Hashanah that is unique, that we do not have any other time of the year, where we're in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, after the first three brachos of Avos Gevuros and Kedushas Hashem. So we have three central brachos, Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And it's during those three central brachos that we blow shofar. And the original takana was to blow shofar during Musaf. And then we added on, and we're going to talk this morning about the add-ons, meaning we added on 30 blasts before Musaf. We'll talk a little bit about that later this morning. And then we added on after Musaf. But in other words, but the key time to blow shofar is during Musaf. But still, that doesn't really respond to the question of how many times do I need to blow the shofar? That's what we're going to learn right now, and that's what we're going to be discussing over the course of this Mishnah.
Question. Back in those days, when they did Musaf or any Amidah,
right,
did they do silent and then the repetition with the Chazan, or was it just
one Amidah? The original institution of Chazar Shashas is to help people who didn't know how to daven. There was a group of people who were not learned, and they came to shul, and they didn't know how to daven, so the Chazar Shashas was there to help them fulfill their obligation. They'll listen, they'll answer amen,
the Chazar Shashas meaning that every individual daven their amida, and the guy repeated it?
Yeah.
Or was it just one amida, and people would daven on their own?
The simple pshat is that everyone davened, whoever could daven, and then the Chazar, and then the Shlech Sibur would go over it again.
But would they blow the shofar twice?
Now you're talking about Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So now in Rosh Hashanah, so they right. Okay, I'll get to that in terms of when exactly during Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, and we're about to see an opinion in the Mishnah where they just had the Shleich Tzibur Daven Shemoneh Esrei, and that's it. Let's get through some of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins there at Tekiyo Shalosh Shel Shalosh Shalosh. So here you go. Mishnah, straightforward, that the Seder Tekiyos said the order of the Tekiyos are three, each set comprised of three. Okay? Take a look at Rashi and the Mishnah. Rashi writes on the Mishnah, Achas Lamalchios, Achas Lezichronos, V'Achas Lashofros. So one set of three for Malchios, one set of three for Zichronos, and another set of three for Shofros. So that means now, if we were to stop at this point in time, we're not going to, but if we were to stop at this point in time, so the conclusion would be that how many times do I blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So a total of nine. I'll do three blasts during my Malchios, I'll do three during Zichronos, I'll do three during Shofros. Okay? Everyone know how many times we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Right? So we have a minhag of doing 100. So basically, over the course of this morning, by the time we finish the daf today, we're gonna extend the number from 9 to 100. Okay, that's geometric progression, which is impressive. How did that happen? So we will. I'll explain over the course of this morning. Over the course of this morning, I'll explain. And how did the original number 9 come about? That's the Gemara. Most of today's Gemara is going to get us to the number 9. And then what I'm going to do after we go through the Gemara is I'm going to explain how we go from 9 to 100. Okay, but let's just deal with the number 9 because that's really what our Mishnah is dealing with. So Seder Tekiyos Shalosh Shel Shalosh Shalosh. So it's three. Each one made up of three. So three times three is nine. So the Mishnah here discusses the blowing of the shofar is nine. Now, a little more detail the Mishnah gives us. Shir tkiah kishalos truos. How long is your tkiah going to be? Your tkiah is going to be the length of three truos. Okay, so in other words, the simple reading of our Mishnah is that the tkiah is going to be a longer blast. Right, the tkiah, I said I was going to bring my shofar today. Yes, I did. Okay, well, I still have one more day to bring it, but... Okay, I did say I was going to bring it today. Okay, I apologize. The length of the shofar, the length of the tekiah is going to be a long blast. And then, shir tekiah kishalos truos. And how long is that long blast? The length of three truos. Okay, that's not every, in other words, it's good, it'd be good if we knew how much a truo was. But right now, at this point in time, let's just get down the basics. So the Mishnah says that, your tekiah blast, which is going to be a long blast, is going to be the length of three shorter blasts. Okay, obviously everything needs a little bit better definition. Hopefully we'll do that over the course of this morning. Shir trua kishalosh yavavas. Now, how long is the trua? The trua is the sound of three yavavas. Okay, so now we have in our Mishnah basically three terminologies. One is a tekiah, we know that's a long blast. Another term that's used in the Mishnah is a trua. It's a shorter blast. And then the Mishnah says that each trua is comprised of three yavavas. So a yavava must be an even shorter blast. Okay, let's not try to get confused yet. We'll come back and we'll discuss exactly what all this means as we go through the Gemara. Taka b'rishona mashach b'shnia kishtayim ein b'yad olachas. This is a line of Mishnah that we already went through, but we've seen this line in the Mishnah already a number of times, quoted in the Gemara, but this is the actual Mishnah. The Mishnah says, let's say I blow my first tekiah good, and then I blow a broken sound. And then I blow another tekiah sound, and it's really long. In fact, it's so long, I can count it twice. In theory, I could count it as a blast for this set, the end of the blast of this set, and I can count it also as the beginning of the blast of the next set. So the Mishnah says, no, ein biyado alachas. You don't count them as two, but rather you count them as one. Like the Gemara said earlier, Rashi over here quotes it, like the Gemara says earlier, we will not insert a break in the tekiah. Meaning if it's one tekiah, regardless of the length of that tekiah, that counts as one tekiah. And we cannot count it as two, even though if we were to put a fictitious break in the middle, it could have counted as two, but we don't do that. Meaning if it's one blast, it's one blast. Let's say you daven Musaf, and for whatever reason you didn't have a shofar during Musaf. Okay? The optimal is to have a shofar during Musaf, but you didn't have one. So what do you do? So in other words, you daven Musaf. Fine. Right. For whatever reason, you thought you weren't going to have a shofar. And then after you daven Musaf, lo and behold, shofar. So tokei shalosh pamim. So then, you're not going to daven Musaf again. But what you'll do is, Kiyah Trua Tekiyah. Repeat that three times. In other words, and that's how you get your nine blasts. Kishem Shashir Sibur Chayev Kach Kol Yachiv Yachid Chayev. Now, in terms of Musaf, who's obligated to daven Musaf? So the Tanna Kama says, everybody. Shlich Sibur will daven Musaf, and so will every individual. Okay, so the Tanna Kama's position is, Musaf will be davened by the individual and by the Shlich Sibur. Remin Gamliel Omer, Shlich Sibur Motzi Esarabim, Yidei Chavasam. And Remin Gamliel says, no. The Shlich Sibur will daven, and he will fulfill the obligation of all the people that are listening. The simple pshat of Rabbi Gamliel is that we'll have on Rosh Hashanah a Musaf, said by the Shlich Sibur. And everyone's there, and everyone's listening, and good. Okay. And we will discuss tomorrow a little bit more, explore the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel a little bit better tomorrow. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. V'atanya shir tkiya kitrua. Okay, a basic discrepancy between the Mishnah and a Braisa. The Braisa says that the length of a tkiya is that of a trua. Tkiya equals trua. Now that's very difficult to understand because our Mishnah says no. Tkiya equals three truas. So a blatant discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. I'm a rabbi. Tani didanka chashiv tkiya dekulu bave. Utruas dekulu bave. Tana baraka chashiv chad bava vesulo. So the Gemara says, no. Tani didan artan, I mean the Mishnah, considers all three tkiyas. What does that mean? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Tani didanka chashiv dekulu bave vahachi kamar. Shir shalosh tkiyos. Kishalosh truos. The length of all three tekiyas are the length of three truos, meaning tekiyah and trua are going to be the same length. And then a trua is that right, and then go on in the Mishnah, and the trua is three of avas. But in other words, but the length of the tekiyah is going to be the length of a trua. That is our Mishnah. And then the Braisa, which says that a tekiyah equals a trua, meaning one tekiyah equals one trua. And the Gemara points out, there's no debate. I'm sorry, Rashi points out, there's no debate. All right, take a look at Rashi in the Gemara. Uvetana braka chashiv dechad abava shir atkik yishir trua v'tarvayu chada milsa amre. They are both basically saying the same thing. So in other words, there's no discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. They both are in agreement that the length, the total length of a trua is going to be the total length of a tekiyah. Okay, it's a unit, and we're going to view the two as the same, and stay tuned because I'll explain why that's it's important, obviously, and I'll explain why that's important later on in terms of what we do. But
each tekiyah has three components.
So
each trua has three components.
Each trua, just give it a moment. Let me just get through the Gemara first, and then I'll flesh it out a lot better, hopefully. Shir trua ki gimel yavavas. Now, how long is the trua? The trua is that of three yavavas. So the Gemara says, okay, another discrepancy. Our Mishnah says that the trua sound is equivalent to three yavavas. The Braisa says the trua sound is equivalent to three shavarim. Okay, new term. The Mishnah did not use this term of shvarim. The Braisa uses this term of shvarim. And the Gemara feels that there's a discrepancy. Amar Abaye, Bahava de Pligi. So Abaye says, here, I can't help you. I mean, obviously he will help us, but in other words, I cannot synthesize like I did previously. Previously, when there was a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa, Abai says, no problem, we're going to synthesize the two. And the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying basically the same thing, it's just a question of relative to what. But a Tekiya and the Trua are equal to one another. In terms of what a Trua actually is, so Abai says that there's a debate between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And the Gemara goes on to explain, what is this debate? Dichsiv yom trua yalachem. Look at the pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. When the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as a yom trua, it's a day of trua. Now, that's step one. Step two, mitargaminan. You have to look at Targum. So open up Chumash, open up Parshas Pinchas, and now first read the Chumash, which we just did, and then go to Targum, Targum Unklus. And there, yom yavava yehe lachon. And Targum Unklus says that this is a day of yavava. So the Aramaic word for trua is yavava. That's step two. Now step three, ukasa be'eme de sisra. And step three is now to open up Nach, Navi, open up Sefer Shoftim, Perek Hay, and the Navi over there describes the mother of Sisra. All right, Perek Dalet is the war of Devorah, Barak against Sisera, right? And they were victorious. That's Perek Dalet, and Perek Hay is the Shira. They sang a song, and then for Parshas Bishalach, so you know what us Ashkenazim do. Oh, you're going to love this. The us Ashkenazim, so we read both Parakim, both Perek Dalet and Perek Hay and Shoftim, longest Haftarah of the year. So the understood, in other words, because it's Shira. In other words, the Parsha deals with Shira, so the Haftarah deals with Shira. But we read both Parakim. I don't think you do. I don't think you read both Parakim. You can look it up after. But anyway, and what does it say regarding what does it say in Shoftim? This is now step three. Uksiv b'yimei desisra ba'adachalo nishkafa. She's looking out the window. She, who is this a reference to? So the mother of Sisera. So mom is waiting outside, wondering when her son's going to come back. Vatiya bave. And as she's waiting, she's realizing he's not coming back. So what does she do? She starts being miya bave. So the Aramaic word that Targum translated the Chumash is actually found in Sefer Shoftim. Okay, Sefer Shoftim is using Aramaic words that never bothers us. That happens every now and then. So, Vatiyaveim Sisera, the mother, Sisera's crying. So, Mar Savar, now, basically, what have we gone through the three steps? Meaning, we know Trua, step one is that the Torah describes the Rosh Hashanah as Yom Trua. Step two is that you look at Targum over there says Yom Yevava. Step three is to look in another place in Tanakh to find the word Yevava, and it's used in the context of the mother or sister crying over her son. So that's three steps that get us from Trua to crying. Now, the question is, how do you describe a cry? When the Torah, now that we know that the Trua, the production of sound that we're making with the shofar is basically going to be a cry, now it's going to be a question of what does the sound of the cry sound like? So, Mar Sava Genuchi Ganach, or Mar Sava Yululi Yalil, that's the debate between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah that says that it is the sound of a Trua, so that is Yulula Yalil. If you take a look at Rashi over here describes Yulula Yalil. So Rashi, I'm going out of order, I apologize, but Rashi, last Rashi, Ka'adama bochel mekonen kolos kitzarim smuchim zelazeh. So it's staccato. It's wah, 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 wah. Just short, punctuated bursts of crying. That is Yulula Yalil. As opposed to Genuchi Ganach, go back to the previous Rashi, I apologize for going out of order. Rashi says, Ka'adama gonech milibo, Keder Chacholim, Shema'arichim begino, beginicho sehen. So somebody who's crying, but more like moaning. It's more like a wailing. It's not staccato, but there are longer wails. So that's the other opinion. So basically now, it's a strange machlokus, but the basic machlokus now between the Mishnah and the Braisa is how do we cry? Do we cry staccato or do we cry with longer sounds? And the Gemara says, and that's the machlokus between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So now, very basic debate occurring right now. Meaning we know that the shofar sound that's being produced is a trua. That's the Torah's description of Rosh Hashanah. Yom trua. And now the only thing left for discussion is going to be, what exactly is trua? We know it's a cry because of Targum, because of the pasuk and Shoftim, and now it's just a question of how do we cry? Genuchi ganach, what we would call colloquially, what we call shvarim, or yalula yalo, what we colloquially call trua. Okay, stay tuned because more to go through in terms of that. Hold that Gemara put that Gemara in the back burner. We're going to come back to that Gemara later on this morning. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, but so far we haven't really explained everything. And just in terms of the number 9, meaning our Mishnah says that how many times do we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? The correct answer is 9. Well, that's not the correct answer, but in other words, that's the fundamental answer. Fundamentally, we're blowing the shofar 9. But how do we get to the number 9? So Tana Rabbanan, as we're about to now begin this Braisa, we are going to explore and basically explain how we get to the number 9, and then only after we finish the Gemara today am I going to come back and I'm going to explain the progression from 9 to 100. But let's go through the Gemara first. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. Minayin sheba shofar. So first of all, how do I know that I blow shofar? It's a funny question, but it's a good question. The Torah doesn't say I'm blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah. The Torah just simply describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Trua. So Tamalama Vavarta Shofar Trua. So the Torah says you blow shofar, but the Torah says it in Parshas Bahar regarding Yovel. On the 50th year, the Torah says, then you take a shofar and then you blow shofar on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. So Ainli Alabi Yovel Rosh Hashanah Minayan, good. That only tells me that it's a shofar on Yovel. How do I know it's a shofar? Rosh Hashanah Tamalam Rabbi Chodesh HaShvi'i. Shein Tamalam Rabbi Chodesh HaShvi'i. Ma Tamalam Rabbi Chodesh HaShvi'i. When the Torah in Parshas Bahar describes Yovel, it says, you know when Yovel is? It's in the seventh month. We know that. We know it's in the seventh month. So Shiyu Kol Chua Shel Chodesh HaShvi'i Zekazeh. So it's coming to tell us now that any time you're in the seventh month and you're picking up something to produce a sound, that something needs to be a shofar. Good. So that is the lima that I'm supposed to manufacture a sound of a trua using what mechanism? A shofar. Okay. Now, so far, so good. So now the Braisa establishes that it has to be a shofar that I'm blowing. The next thing we're going to establish is what sounds am I going to produce? So now the Torah is, again, the Torah says Yom Trua. So I know I have to produce a broken sound. That's clear in the Torah. But what we do now is that we bookend it with a tkia in front of the broken sound and a tkia after the broken sound. Question, where does that come from? So the Gemara says, Uminayin, Shepshuta Lefana, how do I know that a pashut, that a straight sound, a long unbroken sound comes before the trua? So Tamalama Vahavarta Shofar Trua. So the Torah says, the Vahavarta Shofar Trua. That I first pass over the shofar, trua. And you'll see in just a moment, the word havarta is a reference to the pshuta. Now how do I know that there's a pshuta after the trua? So tamalama ta'aviru shofar. That ta'aviru shofar, the shofar is a reference to the long sound afterwards. Okay, so I have a shofar before the trua. I have a shofar after the trua. Good. And now again, these psukim and Parshas Bahar. These psukim only tell me how I blow shofar on Yovel. How do I know that the same thing is true for Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah minayin tamalam rabbi chodesh hashvi. Shein tamalam rabbi chodesh hashvi. Ma tamalam rabbi chodesh hashvi. Shiyu kol truus chodesh hashvi zekazeh. Okay, so they again, the chodesh hashvi is telling us that any time I'm in the seventh month, what we call Tishrei, and I'm picking up a shofar and I'm blowing, so yes, I have to blow a trua, but now I also know that it has to be a tkia in front and a tkia afterwards, based on the fact that the Torah uses the word shofar before and after the word trua. Good. Now, next step. Good. That now, all I've got so far is three. Meaning, a true in the middle, and bookended by tkia. So a tkia in front and a tkia afterwards. How do I know that there also must be a trua, how do I know they have to repeat that three times? Tamalamar vavata shofar trua, shabaton zichron trua, Yom Trua Yelachem. So the Gemara says we're going to have a total now of three psukim. Va'avarta Shofar Trua. Now mind you, that pasuk is regarding Yovel. Shabbaton Zichron Trua. That pasuk is regarding Rosh Hashanah. And Yom Trua Yelachem. That pasuk is regarding Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara is going to, the Braisa is going to address this. It's a little bit funny where we have three psukim, each one mentioning trua. So yes, it's true that we have three truas, but slow down. We have one trua in regards to Yovel, and two truas in regards to Rosh Hashanah. And what we're going to do is we're going to basically make an amalgamation of all three, and we're about to conclude that all three of them needs to be done on Rosh Hashanah itself. The Gemara is going to note that's a little bit difficult, considering that two only come from Rosh Hashanah and one comes from Yovel. Uminayin, that's the Gemara's next point. Uminayin litenes amar shel zeh bezeh v'shel zeh bezeh. Now, how do I know that I combine the two? Tamalamar shvi'i, shvi'i l'gzera shava. So the Gemara says we have the word shvi'i used in the context of Yovel. We have shvi'i used in the context of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's gzera shava. And the gzera shava tells me, haketzad shalosh ein teisha. So therefore it comes out to a total of three, meaning it's not two or one, it's two and one, the Gzera Shava arrives at this conclusion, and so therefore two mentioned by Rosh Hashanah, two true is mentioned by Rosh Hashanah, one true mentioned by Yovel. Remember, true by definition has its key in front and its key afterwards, so now it's 2 plus 1, which is 3 truas. Each 3 has one before, one after, so it's 3 times 3, which is going to be a total of 9.
Didn't we use that Gezer Shavah once already in terms of just saying that?
Just give it a moment because, just give me a moment regarding the Gezer Shavah. We're going to come back to that. Shein Teisha. Shir Tkia Ketrua. The length of a Tkia is a Trua. Right, you've heard that already this morning. The Gemara quoted this section of the Brisa earlier. Shir Trua Kishalosh Shevarim. And how long is a Trua? The Trua is the length of 3 Shevarim sounds. So, high Tana, period. Period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. That is the end of the braisa. Now, in the braisa so far, what we've established in the braisa is that I'm blowing the shofar a total on Rosh Hashanah of 9 times. 3 truas, because of the 3 times that the Torah mentions trua, twice by Rosh Hashanah, once by Yovel. Each trua has a tki in the front and the tki afterwards. So it comes out to a total of 9. And then according to this braisa, what is the length of a trua? The length of a trua is that of a tkiah. And in terms of the length of each trua, each broken sound, the length of the trua, is going to be a total of 3 shivarim. Okay. Now, haitana mikara maisi lebekesh vashta maisi lebekzereshava. Technical question, but a correct question. The braisa, when opening up the discussion of how do I know that what happens in Yovel also happens in Rosh Hashanah. So originally when the Brisa was discussing, the Brisa said Hekesh. Okay? And then the Brisa moved to a different methodology, and that of Gzera Shava. It's not the same methodology. Hekesh means when I have 2 things located in the same pasuk or next to one another, so that's Hekesh. They're next to one another. Gzera Shava, there's no proximity when it comes to Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava just simply means I have the same word used in 2 different places in the Torah. And here's the important part about Gzera Shava. And I have a tradition, a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that these 2 words can be linked together. There's a hyperlink between these 2 words, and therefore what's true here over here is going to be true over here as well. That's what's called Gzera Shava. So the Braisa started by learning through a limud of Hekesh, and then the Braisa concluded with the Gzera Shava. So the Gemara says, Hachikamra, you love Gzera Shava, hava maisina la behekesha. So then the Gemara says, we could have used the Hekesh, but it happens to be that we have a Gzera Shava. And the Gzera Shava is, we'll say it's a little bit stronger. We won't say that. Rashi will say that. Rashi says, Rashi writes that we... next Rashi. Hachi kamar ilav gzera shava ilo nemar gzera shava zula Moshe Mitzinai ladona. Had we not had a gzera shava, isi maybe a kol bekeisha, then we could have brought it about through a hekesh klamar me'atzmo, meaning that it would have been self evident by itself. But the gzera shava goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and as a result of that, it's a stronger limud. Okay, hashidasa be gzera shava hekesh lo tzarich. But now that we have a Gzera Shava, the Hekesh is not necessary. Okay. So far, so good. That was a long Braisa with a little discussion on the Gemara afterwards. But again, the conclusion over here is very straightforward, that on Rosh Hashanah, there is a mitzvah to blow the shofar. 3 truas in total. Each trua is going to be bookended with a tki in the front and the tki afterwards, bringing us to a total now of 9. Okay, that is a Braisa telling us that there's a mitzvah in the Torah to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah a total of 9 times. The Haitan of Maisa Libik Zereshava Mimidbar. The Gemara now quotes another Braisa. So here we're going to do now is we're going to go through this next Braisa. And basically, same conclusion, different sources. Let's go through it. Detailing with the Braisa, Tkatim Chua Tkiya Bifne Atzmo, Uchua Bifne Atzmo. The Torah says, last week's Parsha, Parsha's Baloscha, you're going to blow a Chua. Utikatem, that from the word tkiah, trua, tkiah bifnei atzmo, trua bifnei atzmo. The tkiah is one sound, the trua is a different sound. Atom, tkiah bifnei atzmo, trua bifnei atzmo, o eno ala tkiah u trua achas. He. So the Gemara says, how do I know? Why is that compelling? Why can't we say that tkiyah and shor is really just the same sound, and the Torah is just using different words to describe the same sound? The Gemara says, you cannot say that. Because read on in last week's parsha, the Torah says that when you want to gather the people together, so make sure what sound are you going to produce? Tkiyah. Not trua. So clearly there's a differentiation in the Torah between a tkiyah and a trua. Tkiyah is a long sound. Trua is a short sound, or a staccato sound. And there it's not the same sound. Good. So now that we know, so the first thing this Bryce establishes is that tkiyah and trua are not the same. Now how do I know? So good. So the Torah says on Rosh Hashanah, what sound am I supposed to produce? A trua sound. And now the Braisa is going to, it's going to be the same conclusion, just from different sources. So according to this Braisa, again, bookended by tki in the front and tki in the back. Now the previous Braisa had it because the word shofar was used before and after. Here this Braisa has it because the word tkiyah is used before and after. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, Amrin Tzarech. The Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, who says, unnecessary. Why? Because Hari Omer, Tkatim Trua Shenis, because the Torah says you're going to blow a Trua Shenis. Now, Shein Tam Alam Shenis, Ma Tam Alam Shenis Zebanav, Shekom Makam Shenem Trua Te Tkia Shnia La. Anytime you blow a Tkia, you're going to have a second, sorry, let me say that again and let me say it better. Every time you're going to blow a trua, you're going to have a second tkiyah coming after. Meaning, what does that mean, second tkiyah? Meaning you'll have a tkiyah in front, trua, and then another tkiyah afterwards. Ainli ala b'midbar. Now good, this is all the blowings that are discussed in Parshas Baal Oscha, in the desert. But that's not discussing the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So according to this Braisa, we have a Gzereshava of Trua Trua. The word Trua used in Parshas Baal Oscha, the word Trua used by Rosh Hashanah, connection. Therefore, we know now that it's Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah.
But then we already use that.
Well, actually, we use a.
For Yovel?
Oh, okay. We use a different. Right, we use a different. Anyway, let's just deal with this brace in hand. Vishal Truas Namra Barash Hashanah. Now how do I know that there's a total of three truas on Rosh Hashanah? Shabbaton Zichron Trua, Yom Trua Vaavarta Shofar Trua. Ushte Tikias Locho Achas Vaachas. So three mentions is of Trua, and again, just to remind each other that two of them are by Rosh Hashanah, one of them is by Yovel. Okay, but three truas in total. Each trua is going to be bookended with a tekiah in front and tekiah afterwards. So therefore, mitzvah lamedim shal truas v'sheish tekiahs nemer b'rosh hashanah. So it comes out now that it's going to be a total of three truos, six tekiahs, 3 plus 6, 9. Shtayim medivrei Torah v'achas medivrei sofrim. Now, although there are 9, two of them are going to be from the Torah. Two of the truas are going to be from the Torah. And one was added by the Chachamim. Now this Braisa, not like the previous Braisa. The previous Braisa had all three truas being Da'araisa. This Braisa has only two of the truas being Da'araisa and one added by the Chachamim. So why? Meaning, why the Chachamim added? I can't help you. But why is it that there's two are Da'araisa and one's the Rabbanan? Because remember, how many times is the word trua mentioned regarding Rosh Hashanah? Only twice. Therefore, two on Rosh Hashanah midaraisa. Shabbaton zichron trua v'avarta shofar trua midivrei Torah yom trua yalechem l'tamud uhu ba'al. And as far as the yom trua is concerned, that's needed for another limud. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmina Amar Rabbi Yonasan achas midivrei Torah ushtayim midivrei sofrim. According to Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmina, no, one trua on Rosh Hashanah is min haTorah. Two of them are instituted by the Chachamim. Why only one? V'avarta shofar trua midivrei Torah. Because when the Torah says that you're gonna spread the shofar out, the sound of the trua out, that's the pasuk in the Torah that instructs us to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Shabbaton zichron trua v'yom trua yalachem l'tamudu ba'al. And the other pesukim already have another limud, and so therefore they are not there to instruct us to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So my l'tamudu ba'al. Okay? No explanation. Why do I? What are these psukim used for? Gemara goes on to explain. Mi baye bayom v'lo balayla. So one's telling us that there's a mitzvah to blow when? During the day, not at night. Meaning not the night of Rosh Hashanah, only the day of Rosh Hashanah. Bayom v'lo balayla minale nafkale mi bayom ha-kippurim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't we already know that from the pasuk of Yom ha-kippurim? E. Yom imi b'yom ha-kippurim yalef nigmar nami minei lepshut lefanei pshut l'achara. So the sorry, if it was from Yom Kippur, so then we would have arrived at the conclusion that's one before and one after. V'avarta tavir lo mashma lehu. So the Gemara says no, because he doesn't agree to the v'avarta taviru as being a source for a pshut lefanei pshut l'achara. Elamai darshibu v'avarta. What do we do with the psukim of v'avarta? Kedrav masa, namarav masa, v'avarta. Derech ha'avaraso. Meaning, remember, we talked about this earlier. When you blow shofar, it is only in one direction. Meaning, you cannot invert the shofar and blow into the wide end and have the sound come out in the small end, as we pointed out earlier. And ta'aviru dekamarachmanu na'abrebiyad. And ta'aviru, if the Torah would have said the word ta'aviru, I might have thought the havamina would have been that what we're supposed to do is take the shofar around with our hand. What exactly that means, I'm not totally clear. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi over here, na'avrebiyad, ilav da'hadar kasve, lohave mishtama ta'avir, lashon tekiya. I might have thought that I'm going to walk around with the shofar, but there's no need to actually blow the shofar if the Torah just simply said the word taviru. V'idach d'rav masne medishanei b'dibur taviru b'yad lo masi samar. D'gamar avar avar mimoshe. And the other position is, no, I never would have thought taviru meant just walk around with the shofar. Why not? Because we would have already arrived at that conclusion that taviru means to let a voice out. Ksiv ha'chav avar to shofar, trua. Uksiv ha'sam v'yetzav Moshe v'yaviru kol b'machaneh. Right, you remember back at the end of Sefer Shmos in Parshas Vayakob Pekudei. So the Moshe says enough, meaning we've gathered enough. And v'yaviru kol b'machaneh. There was the voice that spread out. So you know we know the word v'yaviru means that the voice should go out. Malahalam b'kol afkam b'kol. Okay, so now, I read that quickly. Basically, now we have two brisos that speak to this idea that we're going to blow three blasts on Rosh Hashanah. One briso learns it out as the Gzeres Shavah from Rosh Hashanah, Yovel, Yovel, Rosh Hashanah. And the other briso learns it out from the Parsha in Baal Oscha, where there the Torah describes who Tkatem Trua, Tkia, right, that you blow the trua, and that's the source that we're going to, that there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So where is the source? So we have two brises that arrive at two different sources. And then the Gemara says, Al haitan the maisel mimidbar, imalahan lechatzosos avkan chatzosos. Brisa number two, who learns it out from Parshas Baal Oscha. The Torah there is not using a shofar. The Torah has us over there using chatzosos, the trumpets. So maybe on Rosh Hashanah, don't take out the shofar, take out the trumpet. So Tamalamar, tiku b'chor shofar b'kesnem chageinu. So the Gemara says, we know that's implausible because we go back to the pasuk in Tehillim, which we quoted a number of times. What is that pasuk describing? Rosh Hashanah izu chag she'b'chorish mitkatzabo ha'v'yomer zeh Rosh Hashanah v'ka'amar rachmana shofar. The Torah, we know that the pasuk in Tehillim describes that on Rosh Hashanah, we're blowing shofar, not a chatzosos. Okay. Wow, that was a lot. Okay, and I know I read that quickly. Okay, quickly to summarize, we have two brises. Question on the table is, how do I know that in Rosh Hashanah there's an obligation to blow the shofar nine times, meaning fundamentally three truas, each trua having a tekiah in the front and the tekiah afterwards? So either we're going to learn, the first brisa learns it out from a limud from the mitzvah of Yovel, or the second brisa learns it out from a limud from the psukim in Parshas Baal Oscha. Either way, the conclusion is going to be that there are three truas that we need to blow on Rosh Hashanah, and there is going to be a very basic machlokas between brisa number one, brisa number two, in terms of A, where we learn it from, and B, how many of those truas are going to be daraisa. According to the first brisa, all three truas are daraisa. Again, each one bookended by tekiah in the front and tekiah afterwards. And according to the second brisa, maybe not. Maybe not all three. Not all three churros are daraisa. Maybe only two is going to be daraisa, or maybe only one of them is going to be daraisa. Either way, those are the different sources how we know. But the conclusion is that we're going to blow three churros on Rosh Hashanah. Each one bookended by one in the front, by tki in the front and tki afterwards. So we're going to be making for now a total of nine. Good. Okay, a lot of limudim, a lot of drashas, and now we are finally at the point in the Gemara where we can basically now ask the question. So now that there's a mitzvah to blow shofar nine times, so we seems like we get a little bit excited on Rosh Hashanah, where we go a little bit, what seems to be a little bit overboard, and that we blow the shofar now 100 times. So let's start now the discussion of how we move from 9 to 100. We're going to start the discussion now, and tomorrow we'll finish. So the Gemara says, we'll start off with the following. We are on Lamed Alamed Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Itkin Rabbi Abau be Kesare. Rabbi Abau made an institution in the town of Kesare. Tkia Shlosha Shvarim. Chua Tkia. Tkia Shlosha Shvarim. Chua Tkia. So the what you should do is you should blow the shofar. And you should blow you should go through the permutations three different times. Manavshach. You should blow tekia, then shvarim chua, and then tekia. Okay. Meaning that in the middle of the tekias, what you should blow is a hybrid. A hybrid of Shvarim and Trua. Now the Gemara says, now that's really hard to understand. Manavshach. The Gemara says, I'm not following you because either way, Iyalu le'yalil le'aved tekiya Trua tekiya. Because remember, we know that the main mitzvah component of the blowing of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is that Trua, is that center sound. And we also know that that center sound is a broken sound. And we also, as explained already earlier this morning, that we're unsure what that broken sound is to sound like. Is it a staccato, what the Gemara referred to as Yalula Yalo, or is it more of a groan, a broken groan? The Gemara's term is Genuche Ganach. So which one is it? We were unclear. So Rabbi Abau says we'll do both. The Gemara says do both. What do you mean? It's either one or the other. So the Gemara says, "Iyalu yalal avet tkiya chua tkiya." The iganu cheganach lavet tkiya shlosh shvarim v'tkiya. So the Gemara says, "Misafkele iganu cheganach iyalu le yalil." So the Gemara says, "You know what Rabbi Abau does not know? He doesn't know which one it is. He has a suffix, and so therefore do both." So Maskev la Rabbi Avira. So Rabbi Avira says, "Well, hold on 1 second. I do understand that he has a suffix." And I do understand that he's doing both, but Dilma Yulule Hava VeKamavsik Shosha Shvarim Min Trua LeTkiya. Here's my problem. My problem is good. You don't know, but it very well may be that the broken sound that you have to produce is just strictly staccato. And if it's just strictly staccato, so then here's what you're doing. You're blowing Tkiya, the long unbroken sound, followed then by Shvarim. Followed then by staccato, followed then by the tkiya. But if all you need to blow in the middle is just staccato, just a trua, so isn't that shvarim going to pose as an interruption, a hefsek? So the Gemara says, "Da'ad avet tkiya trua tkiya." So the Gemara says, "You're right. That's a good point." So you know what? After you do what Rabbi Abba was instituting, which is tkiya shvarim trua tkiya, and do that three times, so then you know what you should do: tkiya trua tkiya. Three times. Maskev la Ravina v'dema genuche havei v'kam avtika trua bein shvarim l'tekiya. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's my problem. Now, maybe shvarim is the correct way to break up the sound in the middle. And so maybe the sound in the middle should be the longer groan. And so, and if I'm doing the trua staccato in the middle, maybe that'll serve as the hefsek. So the Gemara says, you're right. Dahadar avid tashat. So the Gemara says, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to do tekiya shvarim tekiya three times. Ela Rabbi Abba, my itkin, igenuche ganacha avdei, ilu yaloha avdei. So the Gemara says, okay, but what is Rabbi Abba now contributing to the whole discussion? We are now doing tekiah trua tekiah three times. We're doing tekiah shvarim tekiah three times. So mesafkele damaganach viyalil. So the Gemara says what Rabbi Abba is unclear about is, you know what it may be? It may be both. Maybe the trua sound is supposed to be a hybrid of a shvarim and a trua. So yahachi la v'nami ibcha tekiah trua shlosha. I'm sorry, tekiah trua shlosha shvarim v'tekia. So the Gemara says maybe you should do not only a shvarim trua in the middle, but a trua shvarim in the middle, and get us now to a fourth permutation. Dilma yalo v'ganach. I'm sorry. Dilma yalo v'ganach. Stam demosa ki misra be'inish milsa bereshe ganach v'hadi yalo. And the Gemara says no. Now, that's just simply not going to be an option. Look around, people see when people are down on their luck and they're depressed and they're sad. So what do? They start with a moan, and then the moan ends up turning into a staccato. So, yeah, wait, just give me a moment. Yes, you can. Just give me a second to wrap this up. So basically now what we have is a... Now we have a somewhat better understanding of what's happening. What's happening now is that we have the mitzvah of the Torah to blow trua on Rosh Hashanah. We know either Gzer Shava or Hekesh from where? Two possibilities today, either from Yovel or from Parshas Baloscha and the Chatzotzos. We know that we have to blow the trua sound three times in Rosh Hashanah. We also know that the tekiah comes before and the tekiah comes afterwards. So now we know that the mitzvah of the Torah is to blow the shofar a total of nine times in Rosh Hashanah. What Rabbi Abba says is that what I'm unclear about is what that central trua sound is supposed to sound like. Is it supposed to sound like a staccato trua or a little bit of a longer moaning shivarim sound? Unclear. So therefore, we're going to go through three different permutations. We're going to do tekiah trua tekiah three times, tekiah shvarim tekiah three times, and tekiah shvarim trua tekiah three times to cover our bases. And then the Gemara asks the question, well, why not do tekiah trua shvarim tekiah three times? The Gemara says that's just simply not an option. That Rabbi Abba never entertained as one of the possibilities of what the broken sound could be in the middle. Okay, what we'll start with tomorrow, okay, I thought I was going to get to it today, I'm not. We're going to start with tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's the last stop of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is very gentle to me in terms of giving me just a little bit to do on Lamed Hay. Is now, we took the number 9 and we basically brought it up to 30. Okay, and by the way, just in terms of the math and the accounting, the reason why I say 30, you could have said 27. Okay, you could have said 27, but when we shvarim trua, we're just going to simply count that as two sounds. Okay, it's nomenclature, meaning however you want to say it. Let's just call it 30 for our purposes. So now we got from 9 to 30 because of the suffix of Rabbi Abba'u. And tomorrow, what I'm going to hopefully we'll discuss, it's Tosus back on Lama Gimel Amid Beis. I'll summarize. But tomorrow, what we're going to discuss is, so how do we get from 30 to where we're at now, where the minhag is amongst the Klal Yisrael, is to blow 100. So I will take we'll go through those steps tomorrow morning.